his living soul searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope.
Good evening, and welcome to What the World Needs Now with host Ken Johnston. Stay tuned as Ken talks with authors, journalists, and others regarding topics important to us as Catholics in a world that's in desperate need of God's love.
Love that comforts from heaven above.
And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Both your prayerful and financial support that allows me to be here on Wednesdays and the rest of our hosts to be here Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern here on 800 a.m. and over the airways using the WTMR app. If you use a smartphone or a tablet, WTMR app's a great way to get a nice clear signal, although the signal should be strong, pretty strong. In this summertime, it's not until the fall and after the daylight savings time's over that we struggle sometimes with that signal. Our guest Peter DePalma's on the line. Just a couple of retreats that are coming up I want to make you aware of. My annual men's weekend will be out at Malvern August 15th to the 17th. That's the Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Group. Our retreat director is Monsignor McHenry this year. Monsignor's here on Friday afternoons at 4 o'clock, and he'll be leading us on that weekend. Again, that's August 15th to the 17th out at Malvern. There's a Matt Talbot Women's Weekend. That'll be September 19th to the 21st. If you're interested in that weekend, I would register sooner rather than later. That group has been growing steadily. This will only be its third year. And they doubled in size from the first year to the second year, and looks like they're going to double again. So if you're interested in that Matt Talbot Women's Weekend, again, that's September 19th to the 21st, register sooner rather than later. And then we do have a Divine Will Retreat coming up. It's an annual event now out at Malvern. It's going to be July 4th to the 6th. Father B. Thomas Celso will be on hand. There's a Mass at 3 o'clock on July 4th that's open to everybody, not just the retreatants. And the retreat house is looking to kick off a year-long celebration of the 250th anniversary of the founding of our country. Father Celso and Father Davis, I don't know if there's going to be any other priests there or not, will be celebrating that Mass. But and then a Divine Will Retreat over the course of the rest of the weekend. All those retreats and many others, you can register online at malvernretreat.com. If you click on Find a Retreat on the homepage, it'll list them all in order by date, and scroll down to the one you want to register for. Click the register button, and you're ready to go. And without any further ado, it's great to welcome back our monthly guest, Peter DePalma, all the way from upstate Pennsylvania. Welcome back, Peter. It's great to have you with us.
Great to be here, Ken. Just a beautiful opportunity to talk about the divine. We'll talk about our faith in general. You know, the problem is, Ken, you know, coming into this this broadcast, too, I mean, there are so many things to talk about. It's like being really, really hungry, and somebody takes you to a buffet. What do you take first?
Exactly.
Hard question. But yeah. You know what? You can't go wrong no matter what you choose. And I think that's the dilemma we're into. But it's great to be back, and thankful to God that the Divine Will Retreats are at Malvern. They're just all over the place. There's one at Our Lady of Częstochowa. There's one
That's right.
in Ohio. There's another one in Florida coming up. I mean, I think that the Nihil Obstat, when that was released last year, I think that, and again, for the right reasons, I think it really allowed people to not have to be concerned. Is this approved? This is not approved. Is this real? Is this not real? You know, there was always this little apprehension. They don't want to rub the bishop the wrong way. But when that came out, I think it opened up the box, and everything is coming out now, which is good.
Yep.
Because, again, it gives everyone like us an opportunity to seek and find where we find what resonates best with us. Again, the divine will can be presented in a myriad of different ways. Sometimes one will be, again, more familiar than the other. But again, we've got plenty to choose from. There's no shortage of talent when it comes to the divine world, because God's in charge. We're not in charge.
No, absolutely. And before we get too far, Peter, you have a prayer handy?
I do have a short one, Ken.
Okay.
In the twilight of St. John the Baptist yesterday, and we can incorporate and ask for St. John the Baptist's intercession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O blessed Lord Jesus, Lamb of God, who John recognized in the Jordan, make of us new forerunners of your divine will. Let our every heartbeat, word, and act be a cry in the desert of this world. Prepare the way of the Lord. May we be braided in you as John was, hidden, burning, and faithful until the last. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, thinking about that, Ken, you know, we're all called to be little Johns today. If you really think about it, I mean, John the Baptist, one of my favorite saints, you know, to receive the gift of living in divine will is really to become a new John. You know, not preparing for the first, but for the final enthronement of God's will in every heart. You know, think about it. Be a voice, not just in words, but in divine acts repeated by Jesus in us. Again, we can't explain that, but we trust God if he says it's true, because it is true. We decrease in ego as we increase in our fiat, and we live hidden, yet radiating eternal light in every moment. And, you know, living hidden doesn't mean we have to go hide. It doesn't mean we have to go silent. But I think it means, and we've talked about this on previous programs, Ken, I think we have to always stay focused that this is not about us. It really has very little to do with us and everything to do with God.
Amen. Yeah. And, you know, as you're saying that, and we're all called to be little Johns, if you will. I like Creepy John better, if you've ever watched The Chosen. You know, it was Peter's nickname for John. It's awesome, you know, running around in his camel hair shirt and eating locusts and honey. But anyway, as you were saying that, I was thinking about, you know, how at each of our baptisms, we're all called to be priest, prophet, and king. And sure, certainly, you know, prophet is one of those things. And we need to have an idea of who God is, what God is, what he's asked us to do before we can be a prophet ourselves. And, I know, we've compared notes in the past and kind of led similar lives at certain points. And, you know, being a prophet was the furthest thing from my radar. And then, you know, and then you get a little religion and all of a sudden you think you know everything. And you become the prophet, but God only knows what you're actually prophesying. And then you hang around long enough, and you learn what the church really teaches, and you learn what faith is really about, and you develop that relationship with Jesus and his mother and all that comes with it. And I think it's once you get there that you can actually really become a prophet that can benefit others. And
I also think about that one of the best attributes that we can pray for is to have that mentality that we're always learning. We never are going to know enough, and just in our lives, I mean, without even knowing it, we probably went through, again, we talk about having similar. You know, in our 20s, we figured we had this pretty wrapped up. I know what they're talking about. I know what to do. And then in our 30s, we look back at our 20s and say how ridiculous we were. And we do the same thing in our 40s and our 50s. I mean, we finally come to the realization that we don't know much of anything. Nope. And that God is so, not intrigued, but I think God is so amused by our wretchedness. Not by our deliberate sinfulness, but I think by our inability to do anything very well without him. And because so many times without God, we think we can do it. And again, that's just ludicrous.
Yeah.
So I think growing old, I think the prophecy of growing old is just not in knowing, but in knowing that we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's that old saying, right? The more I know, the more I realize I don't know. And
right.
And absolute truth. And even God in all his wisdom tells us in Scripture, don't prepare what you're going to say. And like today's show is a perfect example of that. You know, we've been hanging out together for a couple of years now and know each other. And I can tell our listeners, we swapped two emails today. I sent Peter an email saying, you coming on? And then I sent him a second email saying, hey, you got anything you want to talk about? And so none of what we talk about on these shows on the last Wednesday of the month, and for the most part, any of the shows is scripted. I've got a little bit of script in the very beginning to get things started. But, I had a great example of that back in May, Peter. I was asked to give a retreat out at Malvern for Matt Talbot weekend, a bunch of folks that are in recovery. And I had, outlines for – I was given five talks plus a presentation on the life of Matt Talbot. And I had – a couple of outlines drawn up, and I'm getting ready to leave to go to on retreat. And Father McKay says to me, well, what's your theme? And I was like, divine, thy will be done. And I got in the car, and I hear this voice say, no, it's not. It's the Serenity Prayer. And I'm like, it's what? And I gave five talks over the course of the week. I could never repeat them because there were no notes, no outline, no nothing. But it was in that I know that it's God, it's the Holy Spirit that's working through us. And when we leave it to him, it comes out so much better than what we have planned. At least it has in my own experience. I mean, we need to be prepared. We have people that are dependent on us to especially like with the radio. I remember when I first started that, the only rule Kathleen McCarthy ever gave me was no dead air. You can't just sit there and be quiet because people will flip the radio station to the next show. And so, we got to keep talking even if it's wrong. But other than that, it's at least in this format, it's pretty much anything goes. And God never ceases to amaze me that, I'm usually not at a loss for words and able to fill whatever time we need to fill, whether it's on the radio, at a retreat, or anywhere else. I've been blessed to be asked to come and talk. So,
right. Well, I think, Ken, because, the topic that we're talking about, God, I mean, you can't contain God in any arena in the world or in the universe. In fact, the void that God created in our soul, that space to house him is the greatest and the most largest entity that there is, because again, it'll only be stretched and enlarged based on our capacity to desire to know God. And so this is never going to, and when we talk about being in the kindergarten of the divine will, because we're very, very simple in our approach here at the School of Mary, because again, Jesus says I had to make this easy and accessible to everyone, very simple, otherwise it wouldn't be for everyone. But we recognize that through the grace of God, we begin to get it. And I don't know how we get it. One day we wake up. So that's why we really have to be careful. We can't anticipate, results. That's one thing I've learned. Don't anticipate results. I mean, you can pretty much bank on it, but you can't anticipate it. God's going to give grace when he wants to give the grace when we need the grace. And I was thinking about, the School of Mary connection to John the Baptist. And think about it. He leaps in Elizabeth's womb at the presence of the divine will made flesh, our Lord, in Mary. His first act of recognition was not of a teaching, but of a presence, the indwelling word carried by the new Eve. So John's mission, if you think about it, and ours, braided through Mary, is Mary formed Jesus, John announced him. Mary gave her fiat, John lived its echo. Mary bore the gift, John heralded its coming. See, we're doing the same. The yes to Mary, the fiat of John, is going to be embedded in each and every one of us as we gain momentum through this beautiful gift of the divine will. It's all here, and yeah. It's easy.
Yeah, and you make it sound so so simple, Peter. And I think it's just like the 12-step program. It's a simple program or a simple idea for complicated people. And I can complicate the simplest of all things. And, you know, it's for some people, especially those that are ingrained in other, you know, devotions, or they have their favorite saints or their favorite theological background, like whether it's Carmelite or Franciscan or Dominican or whatever it might be. And that sometimes we have to look beyond those things and realize that there is a greater gift. And, you know, that's kind of what I stumbled upon. And I, you know, I wasn't seeking out the gift of the divine will a few years back when Daniel O'Connor ended up on my radar. And then through a sequence of events, I come to know you and Mother Gabriel and a bunch of others that are have been traveling this path for quite a while. But it's not that we're giving up, you know, something good for something equal. We're giving up something good for something greater. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to fathom, especially if we've achieved some level of success in the spiritual life. Sometimes it's hard to fathom that there is something that's far greater that God wants to give us. And yet he does. And, you know, he held back, you know, almost 2,000 years with this gift of the divine will until Luisa Picaretta was, you know, born in the latter half of the 19th century. And, you know, for some 40 years up until 1936, I think, that, you know, he gave these messages to Luisa, not for Luisa, but for the rest of us. And the more we go through her writings, you know, I've come to realize that, you know, the questions that she's asking, I find it hard to believe that she would actually ask them for herself. That I think that Jesus had her asking them because we have those questions. And even, you know, whether we've been at it for a week, a month, a year, or a decade, there's still questions that pop up, or we re-question things that maybe we've come across or learned. And to be open to that and realize that the answers that Jesus has given to Luisa, while they were for her, they're even more so for all of us.
Right. You're spot on, because I think it's in volume 36 when Luisa was apologizing to Jesus. Oh, I'm so sorry I doubted you. So sorry I questioned you. And Jesus basically in simple terms just said, you never doubted, you never questioned. He said, basically, everything you were asking me was to help those who were going to follow you. Basically, they were rhetorical questions. They needed to be answered, so he was just, like you said, just having Luisa ask them, which are beautiful. So she had faithfulness, and you know what? And she had such humility, too. She kept asking Jesus, when am I going to receive this gift? When am I going to receive this gift? And she had been fully in the gift for over 20 years at the time she's asking this question. So the beautiful thing is here, we don't have to worry about where we are or when we're going to get it. If we desire this gift, we're going to receive it. Again, he's going to give it to us when we need it most. And again, our job is just to stay faithful. And you mentioned also about Dominicans, Carmelites. You know, all we have to realize, too, what Jesus says. Everything that he's given the church, including religious orders, have all been seeds. They've been the means to get us where we are now. So they've all been a vehicle in which we can get here. Now, we run into a problem sometimes, like you mentioned, when we have some limited success in our religious life, or we're in a position of management, so to speak. It's very difficult. Now, how do I give up Carmelites now to embrace the divine will? Well, you don't have to, but Jesus says give up even holy things, at least temporarily. Well, what does that mean? Well, he says, pause being a Carmelite until you can embrace the divine will. Be in the divine will, then go back and be a Carmelite. Because, again, the divine will is going to make you a better Carmelite. The Carmelites are not going to make the divine will better for you. So you have to realize where it is, and that's tough sometimes.
Yeah.
If I'm a facilitator in a certain, like the Marian movement of priests, many there, I mean, Our Lady talks about the divine will in like 35 different entries. Father Gobi spoke about Luisa in 1996. It's on the website. Said that none of these messages of Our Lady are going to come true until everyone's living in the divine will, and mentions Luisa. But again, many in the divine will, I know them personally, cannot, not divine will, in the Marian movement of priests, they cannot make the jump. They're very comfortable where they are, even though they they have to recognize, because these are very smart people, that there's something greater. Luisa talked about it. Our Lady talked about it. Father Gobi talked about it. But they cannot make that move. So we actually have to ask for, I think, the guidance and the grace and the courage to give up even holy things. I remember a priest telling me real quickly, he introduced the divine will to a young nun. I think she had been 2 years professed. And she says, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. And he said, what do you mean you can't believe it? She says, I don't want to believe it. Because if this is true, then I've wasted my whole life.
Yeah.
And that's just the opposite, actually, of the truth. If you think about it, that nun had to go through her entire formation, had to become professed, had to have this interaction with the priest to be introduced to the divine will. Everything had to happen in the past as it did. God's will is everything. His permissive will and his willed will. So God's never shocked. He's not surprised. So why should we be worried? It'll all be good. He promises he's never going to allow in his permissive will something to happen unless he's going to bring about a greater good. And I trust that. He's done it in me. I know he's done it in you, Ken.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And you have to be in sobriety or in a 12-step program or anything else, but a lot of people that I know don't like to look back. And it's when we do look back, and especially in the spiritual life, I think we have to look back from time to time and see where we started out and where God has brought us. And when we look at that path, it's rarely a straight line. It's right. You know, there's we go off the rails from time to time, or all of a sudden there'll be a sudden complete change in direction, like not a 180, it's probably more like a 90. And usually for me, I find that it's whenever I've gotten comfortable in where I am spiritually, that all of a sudden, shot will come over the bow, and it's like, yeah, you're good where you are, but I got something better waiting for you. And right. You know, and what got it for me was learning about the line in the only prayer that Jesus gave us. The Lord's Prayer, that, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And, you know, learning that was a prophecy. This wasn't something that was never going to happen. Jesus wouldn't have told us to pray for it if he was never going to allow it to happen. And, right. You know, to know so many people these days that take that line to heart and are doing everything in their power to bring it about now. You know, not 10 years from now, 100 years from now, thinking that only Jesus can do it, that we have to do everything we can in order to bring that about. And the word that came to mind when you were talking before, Peter, was intentional. We have to, I think we need to be intentional about it. It's mm-hmm. You know, some of the things that have gone on in my own life over the past couple of months, and My life, especially in the last month or month and a half, has become more intentional. And by that I mean that when the thought comes, and whether it's in prayer or out of nowhere, and I hear this inner voice say, you know, do this or do that. In the past, I would always be, okay, that's a good idea. I'll get around to it eventually. Or, you know, okay, God, but what I'm doing right now, I think this is a little bit more important than what you're asking me to do. And that has ceased. It's like intentional is the word that comes to mind, is that when that thought comes, we have to intend to do it. And hopefully sooner rather than later. And it's not I'll get to it when I get to it, or, you know, show me that's really what you want me to do. It's, you know, God doesn't give you that thought or idea if he doesn't want you to act on it. And it's that action. And I think now, especially in this crazy world that we live in today, that, you know, all the signs point to this gift of the divine will and it being the answer to all of our ills.
Oh, absolutely. You mentioned about looking back in the past, and you know, Jesus talks about that too. He actually wants to, I guess refrain would be the word, but there is a benefit And I think that's where you're going to, Ken. When we look back, I think it helps us appreciate where we are now. I think it helps us develop additional gratitude for God. Remember, he also said that that was one of the things that really hurt him the most, because people were ungrateful for what he was doing. Not that he wanted to be flattered, but he wanted them to recognize where it was coming from, not to seek it from other sources. But there is a caveat to that also. I remember Father Brown coined the phrase that today is where we're called to live the eternal now, which is right now. But today is crucified between two thieves, yesterday and tomorrow.
Right.
If you just think about that quickly, mm-hmm. yesterday, if we start to dwell on the things we didn't do or we could have done or we could have done better, that could bog down. We can lose this moment we have right now. Or if we're over-preparing for tomorrow, which we have no guarantee we're going to wake up tomorrow anyway, again, we can lose that moment we have right now. And that's something that I experienced too growing up when I began my career on Wall Street. I never enjoyed my day, even though I had stuff to make me enjoy. Because I was always prepared for tomorrow. You know, that's not a way to live. So God says, yeah, today's crucified between two things. Oh, God doesn't say it. Father Brown said that.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful. But I do agree, going back to pluck out the courage to say, thank you, Lord, for where you brought me now. It's amazing. Because I know, speaking for myself, maybe for you, Ken, also, I know Our Lady saved my life physically as well as spiritually.
I don't know that she necessarily saved it as much as once I found Jesus and that relationship started, that when I found her, that's when it just really took off. It's when it increased exponentially. When
I think that's what God was waiting for.
Yeah. and to your point about today being crucified between the two thieves of yesterday and tomorrow, it's absolutely right. And what I tell people, it's all right to look, you just can't live there, you know. And so many people I know that they just can't get out of living in the past, and not because it was great, but because of some of the horrible things that they've done, and they don't think that they're worthy of having it today. And then, you know, you have the other bunch where they've gotten out of yesterday, but all they're looking at is the future. And it's just riddled with anxiety, you know, especially, you know, in this day and age, in a nuclear world, and, a bomb goes off there, or, you know, another country attacks another country here. And, you know, people are like my sister-in-law was a perfect example. She got a call from a friend and, you know, are you all stocked up on your emergency food, and you got extra gasoline and propane and all this other stuff? And what I've told people, it's one thing to be prepared and you know, have enough for a few days. But if you have more than enough for a few days, people are going to come after you for it anyway, because they're not going to have anything. So,
yeah,
you know, but the key being to live in the moment, because God is only in the moment. He's not in... Yeah. You know, the show's a half hour old. We're at the bottom of the hour already. But, you know, the beginning of the show is gone forever. The 5 o'clock can never be repeated, relived. There's nothing we can do to change it. And the 6 o'clock hour is not here yet, and there's nothing we can do to bring it about or force something to happen that God doesn't want. So being able to live, and I used to try to live one day at a time, and it's not even that anymore. It's one moment at a time. Because God's not in the day, he's in the moment. So, Peter, we're just going to take a short break. Give you the first word when we get back for our listeners. Again, our guest today is Peter DePalma. We're talking about all things Gift of the Divine Will and Louisa Picaretta. Hopefully you'll stick around for the second segment. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
My name is Mario Diadamo, and I have been a faithful listener to Inner Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Your host, Ken Johnston. My guest on this Divine Will Wednesday, the last Wednesday of the month, is my good friend Peter DePalma, all the way from Kunkeltown, Pennsylvania. And we're talking about all things related to the gift of the divine will and Louisa Picaretta as they come to mind, or the Holy Spirit puts them in mind. And, you know, just how important it is for this day and age. I mentioned at the very beginning of the show about upcoming retreats. There's a number of things that are going to be happening over the next 6 weeks or so. Maybe a little bit longer, but Father Celso will be back at Malvern July 4th to the 6th. Mother Gabriel will be out at Our Lady of Częstochowa in Doylestown the first weekend in August. If I'm not mistaken, that one may be booked up. I'm not sure if there's still availability for that one or not. I'll try to find out by next week and let folks know. And then I think Father Celso returns again to Malvern in the middle of August for an annual get-together he has there. Moved a couple of years ago from Indiana. But anyway, plenty of stuff going on locally with the Gift of the Divine Will. If you're interested in joining the cenacle that I'm a part of, the folks get together every morning from 6 a.m. to 7:30. It's not as bad as it sounds. I've been going through the Book of Heaven since I got hooked up with them a couple of years ago. And we spend a little more time these days, Peter, allowing for people to comment. It's probably the third time through in a couple of years. So people want to start, you know, sharing more. So they cut off the reading a little bit earlier and give people an opportunity to talk about what we're reading. And you don't, like you say, there are experts you know, people that have been studying it for a lot longer than I have. You have the Father Iannuzzis that wrote their doctoral dissertation and what have you. But when you read it, it's Jesus speaking to us, you know, through Louisa, and it's whatever the message is that comes to you. Now, that doesn't mean you can take it and run with it and tell other people, you know, what it is and what it's not. I think that's where the movement, if you will, got itself into some trouble. But it is Jesus talking directly to you about how to live in his will. And, you know, what fascinated me when I first learned about it, Peter, was the, you know, this idea that being able to live life like the pre-lapsarian Adam. And I heard that phrase and it was like, pre-lapsarian, what the heck is that? And since then, once I learned what it was and the idea that there'll be a time on this planet where we can, where we might be able to live the way we were meant to live before the fall in the garden, is just incredible to me. And the fact that God's already got that planned, that we need enough people living in the divine will in order to bring that about. You know, and there's other seers and what have you over the years that have talked about you know, things similar, but not quite in the detail that we get with Louisa and the Book of Heaven.
I think it makes you think, you know, Ken, what you just said, about him. I mean, I never thought of it, but if we didn't have this gift of divine will, does that mean God lost? Does that mean God made a mistake? Adam and Eve fell and that's it? It's over? Nonsense. There wasn't a mistake. God had a plan B. Not that he needed a plan B, but he knew plan A. Again, there's a big risk when you offer individuals and human beings free will. But it's the only decisive marker that God can use to know if we truly love him.
Right.
And he's all about true love. You know, yeah. He could have programmed us to love him. That would have been self-serving. That's not God. So it's really interesting. It had to happen. The fact that it's happening in our lifetime, I'm still astonished by. And one thing I was just mulling over, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, I wrote a short little white paper on it, and I was talking about you know, joy and happiness. They sort of sound like they're the same,
nope.
But I think they're quite different. And I use the Book of Heaven as a drawing. If I could spend 3 minutes, Ken, really
sure.
Quickly, I'll throw it back to you.
Yeah.
And the verse that really catapulted me was in volume 15. I don't have the date, I'm sorry. But it was Jesus speaking, "My daughter, joy is of heaven. Happiness is of the earth." Joy is of heaven. Happiness is of the earth. "One who lives in my will possesses the joys of heaven and the happiness of the earth, because my will contains all goods." Now, doing some research, think about it, though. Well, common sense. In the world, happiness is often associated with, you know, moments of success, pleasures, comfort. You know, I had a lot of happinesses when I was young, or I thought I did. Things that make you feel good for a moment. But it's fleeting. It rises, it falls, you know, it all predicated on the circumstances, sunny day, kind word, a fulfilled desire, but it's over. But joy in the divine will is something altogether different. It's not the product of exterior conditions. That's the key. Nothing on the outside is causing it. Fruit of interior union, which nobody can take. Nobody can stop except ourselves. Basically, it's the delight of the soul fused with God's own life. How can that be not the best? Participating in this eternal act of love. This joy can exist even in suffering, because it is rooted not in what happens to us, but in what God is doing within us. That's the difference. And then I think about, you know, in this tumultuous world of everyone is divided on everything. Are we not citizens of heaven first? And I think if we look at it, as it's almost like the commandments are to leading our lives. We are citizens of heaven first. We are citizens of whatever nation we are, and then of any party affiliation. But if we gauge everything by the heavenly citizenship, I mean, again, Christ says in John 1:12-13, we're born anew. We're made heirs of the kingdom, Romans 8:17. And our first response and duty is to say yes to each moment and to sanctify time. Remember the souls in purgatory, they wish they would have made better use of the time. We can sanctify that time right now. Transform all those ordinary moments into divine moments. And then love and serve. We are to mirror Christ's love. How do we do that? We have to be in Christ to do it. It's all here. It's all a big paradigm shift. And it's nothing we can manufacture. It's all grace. So no one has to worry about, can I do this? Am I worthy of this? Am I qualified for this? None of us are. But we're here. Desire it, Jesus says. I think it's in volume 3. And the gift will be given. State of grace is the only high level given that you must adhere to. You have to be in the state of grace. Then watch what will happen if you desire it. But again, the more we know of this gift, the more we desire it. And I know that's the route that you and I took, Ken. Wow, yep. We kept learning. We wanted more. We wanted more. And then here you are waking up at 5:30 in the morning to get ready for 6 o'clock cynical. Go figure.
Yeah, right. And you know, and so many times, and it's just not related to the book of heaven or the gift of the divine will, but the difference between joy and happiness is, as you mentioned, you know, there's so many people running around seeking happiness, and so few that are running around seeking joy.
Right.
And you know, happiness is fleeting. We can do things that make us happy for a minute or an hour or maybe even for a whole day. But the happiness can be stolen in a heartbeat. The circumstances change. But there's a joy that nothing on earth can take away. When that joy is rooted in God, even the most horrible circumstances that happen, the world can't steal it from you. And I'm the furthest thing from a saint. And as you were talking about it, and as I'm saying it, you know, it just comes to mind. That I guess it was last Friday was the third anniversary already of Sue's death, my wife. And there's still people that I think they struggle with me not struggling. Like, why aren't I curled up on a sofa and sucking my thumb, or how am I able to continue to do all the things that I'm doing? And I tell people, I have my moments. Trust me, I have my moments. I was with somebody over the weekend who I've been on retreat with for probably 30 years that wasn't aware of what happened in March. And when I told him, he was not mad at me, but mad at me because he didn't know. If I had known, I'd have been there. And it's like, it's okay. You weren't meant to be there. If God wanted you there, he'd have made sure you got there. But in relaying the story, it's like, and I told him, oh, I know what happened. So all of a sudden, he requested to be a friend on Facebook, and I, did it gladly. And he immediately went back to a post I had made the day that, I guess 2 days after Sue passed it, because it had her obituary. And so I found myself this morning scrolling through the comments that people have made when she passed. And man, it was like reliving it all over again. And so I still have those moments, but even that could not take away the joy that God has given me in so many other areas of my life, whether it's the gift of the divine will, my children, my grandchildren, the wonderful friends and people that God has put in my life that were there before it happened and that certainly there after it happened. So I don't want to be miserable. And God, I don't think God wants me to be miserable. I think he wants me to, continue to live in joy. Does that mean that we're going to, walk around with a smile on our face 24/7? Not necessarily. And I'm looking, I see that somehow or other Peter managed to drop, and that's okay. I'm sure he's going to realize it in a minute. and call us back. But the joy that God wants to give to us is a joy that only He can give. We can't find it in anything else. We can't find it in alcohol or drugs or clothes or sex or whatever else that there is that we think it can bring us that joy. It'll bring us happiness. It can bring us a little bit of pleasure. But sooner or later, it's going to go. It's just the nature of life, I think, and the part of being human. One of the other things that Peter was talking about is that we're citizens of heaven, that we're not citizens of this planet. And I've helped more than one or two people with just that line when things are have gotten crazy and in life, and I knew it. Peter's back. Welcome back, Peter.
Yeah, sorry about that. Something happened. Just maybe the other side's trying to rip my joy, but it happened because it's continuous and stable. I don't know where you left off, Ken. So
yeah, no, that's all right. I was talking, continuing to talk about joy and versus happiness. And I was talking, and I heard this click, and it was like a sound I've not heard before. And I looked up, and sure enough, the line was dropped. But I told our listeners, don't worry. I'm sure Peter will realize it after a few minutes and call us back. So thanks for coming back. But the thing I was just going to – I just started to mention, though, was when you were talking about how we're citizens of heaven and not citizens of this planet. And I think for a lot of people – that can be the difference between depression and joy, sadness and joy. It's the world here just bombards us with bad news, bad information, pain and suffering. And it's so easy to slip into that and to live in that. But if we remember that we're citizens of another world and that we're made for that other world, we're, for whatever reason, we're forced to do our time here, hopefully to work out our salvation and come to live in the divine will. But, sooner or later, we're finally going to get to our eternal homeland in heaven. And there goes my thought that we're citizens of heaven. That
no,
we're not,
but you're, yeah.
Go ahead.
You're right, because, we need to, again, we're creatures of heaven. We need to take practical steps and recognize that we're citizens of heaven. I think we do that effectively by remembering that we're Catholic. But now this gift, okay, we have the preventing act in the morning, we have our actual acts throughout the day, reminding ourselves of this incredible gift, because this is a gift that's been given to us that allows us to be this citizen of heaven. And again, it's moment by moment. And it's fiat. Well, what does fiat mean? Well, it's just, it's God. You know what's best for me in this moment. You've given me this moment. And, am I living in God's will? I don't know all the time, but I can't go around questioning. I can read, I can study, and I can try to put all this into practice, but it all comes down to grace. God wants to give us the grace.
Yeah.
We just need to be in the state of grace in order to receive the grace. I think that's the starting point for each and every one of us.
Yeah, yeah. And
I know it is for me.
Yeah, and along those lines, the thought came back. Is and I forget if it was Father McKay or somebody else that first heard it from, that we're spiritual beings having human experiences, not human beings having spiritual experiences.
And it's
something as simple as that. If somehow or other we can keep that in the forefront of our minds, that we don't get as wrapped up or as upset about the little things in life as we do when it's all about our human experience. And it's easy to slip back into. You want to get a little bit of pleasure, you want to get an escape from reality from time to time. And I think it may be all right to slip back once in a while and only for short periods of time, but hopefully it's, right back on the path. It's, my friends that struggle with addiction, It's, you know, you get off the you get off the rails and you get into that pleasure seeking mode and forget all about who created us and why he created us. And to keep that in the forefront of our mind, especially that we're spiritual beings having human experiences, for a lot of people, it's a game changer.
Yeah, I like that phrase. I also like to think also, Ken, that the divine will is sort of like a byproduct. You know, we're called to have loving trust, total surrender, which again is not easy if we've lived a life of being counted on to make decisions. Or that doesn't mean we throw all that away. See, that's the misconception also. Let's jump. I know I'm all over the place right here. I don't know what to talk about. But think about giving even holy things. I mean, it sounds so preposterous. But if you just think about it simplistically, it makes perfect sense. God says, give up holy things right now, not forever. Embrace the divine will. And then go back out. It's like the divine will is our umbrella in a rainstorm. And just to give you a quick example would be, Daniel made perfect rounds, more beautiful than we could ever do. But those rounds only effectuated a positive impact on those generations, those three generations that were in his presence. Now the divine will comes, and that round now is transtemporal. It affects all souls, past, present, and future, concomitantly at the same time, and is eternal. But we're making a less pronounced round, and it's got a greater impact. Why? Because God has taken it to a different level.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good time too for. I've got a little joke. Why did the monk bring an umbrella to the monastery?
I don't know why.
Because he heard the divine will reigns there.
There you go.
I'll keep my day job.
Don't bring the umbrella. Let it hit you. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the monk didn't know.
Yeah, let it hit you. But yeah, nah, and it is, and you were saying earlier that all we have to do is to desire it, and you know, so many people that aren't aware of it, even to this day, and hopefully these monthly shows have brought people more aware. But I know just in the couple of years that I've become aware of it, that it seems, and like you said earlier, that it's growing exponentially because, at least partially because of the Neil Obstadt. There's nothing out there that in the Book of Heaven that goes against church teaching. There may be a couple of things that need clarification, but by all means,
right.
We're free to study it, to have cenacles and talk about it. And, I just hope that sooner rather than later we get that the critical edition of the volumes. But, until then, we keep going to queenofthedivinewill.org is Peter's website. If you go out there, you can find PDF and Word versions of all the volumes. And so much more. I just caution you, if you're going to go to the website, again, that's queenofthedivinewill.org, that you may be overwhelmed when you first get there. Don't worry about it. Take little chunks at a time. Watch a video here, a video there. Download the volumes. Start with volume one. And just a little bit at a time. This is a lifelong journey. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
No, it really, this is not quantity over quality. This is quality over quantity. God understands what we can do, what we cannot do. He doesn't expect more than he's given us the opportunity to do. So it's available for everyone, unless we don't want it. And I know that's no one in the listening audience at this time.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I'd also say to shoot Peter an email at Mary's Hill at queenofthedivinewill.org. Is that what it is?
Yes, that's great. Yeah, because I can send you any of these white papers that I have here on either the heavenly citizenship or the braiding of Saint John the Baptist.
Yeah, so that's Mary's Hill at queenofthedivinewill.org. If you can't remember that, it might be easier to shoot me an email at ken@inhissign.com, and I can connect you with Peter. But I bring that up because Peter will send out informational emails over the course of the week, especially when he has his own Cenacles, his weekly radio show with Mother Gabriel on Radio Maria on Thursday mornings, or the Cenacle they have on Sunday afternoons. He has a group that meets on Wednesday nights tonight at 7 o'clock, Crossing the Exile. And if you get in touch with Peter or I, we can get you on that email list. And you're not obligated. You can tune in. You don't have to talk. You don't even have to turn on your video or anything. If you just want to, you know, jump in and learn a little bit about this gift of the divine will. I got just about a minute left. Peter, what do you got before we go?
Well, I'd like to close my portion off with we're talking about you know, heavenly citizenship. I've got a prayer of royal surrender, very, very short, if I may, Kevin.
Sure.
Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, sovereign of my soul, I rejoice that you have made me a citizen of your eternal kingdom. Please grant me the grace to live every moment in your divine will, so that I may reflect your glory and bring heaven's light to earth. Amen.
Amen. Did you write that, Peter?
Yeah.
Awesome, brother. Nah, that's great. And once again, like I mentioned to our listeners, the number of Cenacles you have, and I know you're always busy trying to promote and talk about the divine will, so appreciate the hour you give us the last Wednesday of each month on Divine Will Wednesday. And wish you all the best. I will give you a call later on this evening.
Thank you, brother. And again, this is the highlight of my month. I really enjoy coming on your program.
Nah, I appreciate it, Peter. Thanks so much. God bless you, brother. Talk soon.
All right, you too. Love you, brother. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Another Wednesday in the books. It seems like another month in the books. And you know, people talk about it as you get older, you know, time just seems to speed up. And I'm telling you, there's just not enough hours in the day, days in the week, weeks in the month in order to accomplish all the things that we need to do. So I need to prioritize and keep God in focus and make him number one. And, you know, do those things that draw us closer to him, because it's through that relationship with him that we can minister to everybody else in our lives, our spouses, our kids, our grandkids, our coworkers, our friends, everybody that we meet day in and day out. So once again, on this Wednesday, it's been my pleasure, absolute pleasure to be here with you. Hopefully you got something out of the shows today, and we'll have at it again next Wednesday. Until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.